Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The winds of change are blowing through Raider Nation, and Silver and Black Today keeps you up to date with the latest news and views about your Las Vegas Raiders.
Touchdown, Las Vegas!
With insight, opinions, and interviews, we're on the cutting edge of what's happening now. Now, with the latest on your Raiders and the NFL, your host, Scott Goldbranson and Mo Moten.
Welcome back, home stretch here on Silver and Black Today on The Bet in Las Vegas. If you're listening to us on the radio, if you're listening to us on our original Odyssey Sports podcast, we certainly appreciate it. Make sure you subscribe to the show wherever you get it. If you're watching us on YouTube, thank you for the subscribe and hitting that notifications bell as the chat continues to be great in there. All right, Mo, the game against the Vikings coming up on Sunday at Allegiant Stadium. We look at the Vikings 6-6. Boy, you and I were talking about before we started the show, if you look at, as you can hear my notes, if you look at the Vikings, I'm going to start with them. The Vikings schedule, after they play the Raiders at 1:05 p.m. on Sunday, they then go to Cincinnati, which suddenly has some hope with the way Jake Browning played the other night. Then they have to play the Lions on Christmas Eve, the Packers on New Year's Eve, and then the Lions again the next week. They have to play the Lions two of the next 3 weeks, along with the hot Packers, the Packers who are playing themselves into playoff position in the NFC. This seems to be, for me, when I look at it, the Vikings got to be looking at this game and saying, look, the last 4 weeks are going to be tough, including two road games, one against the AFC runner-up, and then one against one of the hottest teams in the league, which is the Detroit Lions. They got to come into Las Vegas thinking, you know, we got to win this game.
Absolutely, and I know Raider fans are going to hear this, but the Vikings are probably looking at this game as if this is the easiest game on our remaining schedule. Not an easy game, not that the Raiders are a tomato can, but compared to the opponents that you just read off, and I know the Raiders beat the Packers early in the season, but if you've been paying attention to the Packers and Jordan Love, they've been rolling in recent weeks. They're on a hot streak. So if you're looking at this, if you're the Vikings, look at the schedule, you're saying we have to go on a road coming out of a bye week, by the way, just like the Raiders are. And we have to make this game count because we got to face the division leader twice. We got to play another division game. So if you're the Vikings, you're thinking this team has scored less than what, 18 points in three consecutive games. I know we have a backup quarterback without Kirk Cousins, but we have Justin Jefferson coming back off of an injury. We have Jordan Addison, who's been an impressive first round rookie. Yeah. We should be able to put up points on this Raider defense and get the win and get back over 500.
Yep, exactly. And that's how you got to look at it. And then you look on the other side of the fence, and that's at the Raiders also, their schedule, where we looked at the back of the schedule and said, well, yeah, the Chiefs, the Chargers, okay. But the Vikings, the Colts, the Broncos have surged, as you guys all know, what they've been able to do. And they play them, they finish up the season in what will be a flexed game of some sort on the 6th or 7th. We don't have determination on when it'll play. But they got to go to Chargers on a short week, by the way. They host the Chargers in Las Vegas after the Vikings on Thursday Night Football this coming week. And then they then play, you get a longer week, and they get to play on Monday night. So they get one of those things they call a mini bye, right, between the 14th and the 25th. So they play on Christmas Day against the Chiefs. And then the Colts, who are playing themselves into the AFC South race, or at least the AFC wild card race. So the Raiders don't have a cakewalk either. And so if you look at this Minnesota Vikings game, with the exception of maybe, even though the Colts are hot, you look at the Colts and you go, okay, how far can they continue? This also is a game like they're saying, okay, we got to win this game because this is one of the games that I think we're more evenly matched in and matched up well against the Vikings.
Not only that, but you're looking at this game, if you're the Raiders, and thinking if we fall to 5-8, you could start to fire out the mock drafts, right? Because if you drop the 5-8 with the Chiefs still on your schedule on Christmas, now I know the Chiefs aren't the same juggernaut team they were in the past, but they did spank the Raiders not too long ago, right? So you have to remember that. If you fall to 5-8, then your focus kind of shifts to a full evaluation mode, as I call it. And we talked about it in the second segment, that at that point, you're not that winning is not important, but you understand that your slim playoff hopes are probably not going to pan out. So you have to look at a lot of the young guys. You probably see a lot of younger players play in those last four games. If the Raiders lose this game and lose embarrassingly, even if they lose this game, you probably see a little more young players in those last four games in evaluation mode. But if you're the Raiders, you know, I hate to say must win. But if you're one of those people who say the Raiders have a chance to make the playoffs, this is a must win game for you.
Yeah. And you look at what the Vikings on defense, they're last in the league in sacks. They have 16 takeaways. That's two more than the Raiders. They're -8 in differential. The Raiders are -7. So the Vikings defense is not overall spectacular, but they're not terrible. I would put them a little bit ahead of the Raiders, but they do give up a ton of yards. They give up more yards on defense than the Raiders do per game. It's 350 to 343. Passing, again, also encouraging. They give up an average of 258.6 a game, and they give up 92 on the ground. The Raiders, unfortunately, give up 127. You were talking about Madison and what he's been able to do. So you look at that on rushing defense, the Vikings give up on average just below 100 yards. The Raiders gain about 82. So this is going to be another Josh Jacobs game, I would imagine, that they're going to have to get the ball to him, establish the run, get some pressure off Aiden O'Connell, get him to distribute the ball much like he did the last game, but do it consistently instead of kind of reverting back into conservative mode and not letting him throw the ball. And that doesn't mean long. That means just getting the ball out quickly, getting the ball in the middle of the field, getting it to Michael Mayer, getting it to Jacoby Myers, getting it to all of his weapons, and really spreading the ball around.
Now, I'm not saying I would get away from the run game, but I would still test the Vikings' young secondary. Mm-hmm. They drafted a guy to USC that I really like, their cornerback in Mekhi Blackmon. Byron Young is there after some time in Arizona. Now, the Vikings secondary is better now than it was early in the season. But you got Davante Adams, and I talked about Jacoby Myers having a great year with the Raiders being their best offseason acquisition on offense, or maybe overall. I think you have to give those guys a chance, especially if they're in one-on-one situations, to beat the Vikings corners, and I think that could be the key to the game. Again, you're going to have arguably the two best wide receivers in the game on the field at the same time. I know Dolphins fans are screaming at me about Tyreek Hill, who's in the MVP conversation. By the way, he's not going to win it. That's a quarterback award. But you're arguably going to have two of the best wide receivers. You're right. You're going to have arguably the two best wide receivers in the game on the field, not at the same time, but alternating drives. So I think the Raiders, not that they get caught up in that wide receiver battle, but I think they're going to like their matchups on the outside with Davante Adams and Jacoby Myers against the Vikings corners.
Absolutely. Okay, so give me your prediction. Don't have to give me a score. You can give me a score if you want, but who wins this game?
Raider fans are going to hate me for saying this.
You're whispering to yourself. You gotta say it aloud.
Raider fans are going to hate me. They're going to hate me. That's why I whispered it, because they're going to hate me for saying this. I put out my Bleacher Report NFL picks on Thursday, early Thursday. Check those out. It's on X. I tweeted it, posted it, whatever you want to call it. I have the Vikings winning 24-20. The Raiders not scoring 20 points in three consecutive games kind of worries me going against Brian Flores. I have my question marks about Brian Flores as a head coaching candidate, but he can coach a defense. And I think he's going to give Aiden O'Connell some problems. Not just what people are going to assume that, oh, he's going to blitz because that's been a hallmark of his defense, but he's shown that he's willing to back off of that if need be. So I would say if you're Aiden O'Connell, expect the unexpected. You may get cover zero. You may not get cover zero. You may get a defense that plays man, press. You expect the unexpected from Brian Flores because he's very good at mixing it up. And I would say that being with Aiden O'Connell's inexperience and Brian Flores' ability to dial up things between the blitz and non-blitzing schemes, it worries me for the Raiders offense that hasn't scored a lot of points in recent weeks. So with the Vikings attacking possibly that Raiders interior with Alexander Mattison, who you mentioned, and Ty Chandler, who's one of my fantasy football sleepers, by the way, I think those guys are going to be a little too much for the Raiders to keep up with offensively.
I think that's a fair assessment. I'm going the other way, Mr. Moten. You ready for this? I know people will be surprised because they're like, because I'm realistic usually. But I think the off week, I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt here to the Raiders coming up with an offensive game plan that is going to push the envelope. Okay? Like you said, you got to go balls out now. The conservative crap doesn't work. It's not going to help you right now with five games to go. So I think the Raiders win this game on a field goal, 27-24. Yeah. Yeah, they're going to score 27 points. First time, they scored 30. That was the one other time. But I think the key to this is, and I'm calling it right now, so you guys can make fun of me if I'm wrong. I like what you said. I think they're going to have to run the ball, and they will early, but that will open up the pass. And I think Aiden O'Connell has his best game as a pro. And I think you're right. I think he gets Jacoby Myers. I think Jacoby Myers has a touchdown. I think Davante Adams has a touchdown. You add in the next touchdown, a Josh Jacobs close one in the red zone, and Daniel Carlson wins it for them late in the game. But it's going to be close, and they have to have a couple things bounce their way. I think Josh Dobbs, I love the story. Good dude. I wish him the best. I think the clock strike midnight, and I think the Raiders are going to have a good game against him, even with Jefferson back. I think they're going to have the upper hand there. So I'm picking the Raiders. How about that?
Here's what I'll say about this. And one thing we didn't mention, this could be a Daniel Carlson revenge game if you have him kicking the game-winning field goal. Remember, the Vikings drafted him and gave up on him
quickly,
and he winds up with the Raiders. So that could be a narrative that gets played up. Of course, we're going to talk about kickers too much. But I think if the Raiders win the way it would look like, and we both talked about it, I think it would have to be a big Davante Adams game. Again, yes. Not that they go away from the run, but the Vikings are better against the run than they are against the pass.
Right.
And I think Davante Adams is going to have a big game, and or Jacoby Myers, maybe Hunter Renfro gets sprinkled in there. Maybe we see Trey Tucker. After it has had a week off to kind of regroup, maybe we see Trey Tucker catch Michael Mayer. Maybe we see both those guys catch multiple big passes down the field. And the Raiders get those explosive plays. They got a shot to beat the Vikings. I also think it's going to be close. Like I said, I don't think it's going to be a blowout.
No.
These teams are more evenly meshed than other people think.
100%.
But if the Raiders win, they're going to have a big game from one of their pass catchers or multiple of their pass catchers.
And the quarterback, Aiden O'Connell's got to have a really good game. Turnover free, obviously, but he's also got to make passes, right? He's got to have this quick release, which he's been pretty good at. But what I want to see the Raiders do, and sometimes it's taken away and I get it with coverage, but you got to use the middle of the field, man. Use the middle of the field and get yards. Get chunk yards here and there. Don't just go vertically down the sideline. Try to take what you can get over the middle. Get 5 yards, get 8 yards, get 10 yards, and then hit the big one. Like you said, hit the big one to Davante or hit the big one to Jacoby Myers or Trey Tucker coming across. So yeah, I think it'll be a fun game. And I don't, like you said, these teams are pretty evenly matched in many ways. And so we'll see how it all rolls out, but it'll be fun. Mo, I know you have a Bleacher Report lives before and after the game, correct?
At this point in the season, just after the game. Just after the game. When the Raiders are on primetime, then I'm on before it. This being not a primetime game, just on after, which is fine with me. I usually chop it up with fans before the game, see how they're feeling about the Raiders, what their temperature is or their confidence level is in the team going into the game. I haven't been on the X very much this past week. Been busy, been handling some things. a lot of people will say, wow, you probably were just buying a bunch of crap because your background looks different. But I was doing more than that.
I was watching a new set.
I was doing more than that over the past week. And with Raider Nation, it seems like a lot of people are just looking forward to the draft. I don't want to say they're checked out of the season yet because there's slim hopes there. But there's more excitement for who are they going to draft at quarterback versus winning the next game. I know that doesn't, that's not for all fans. I'm not saying that's all fans, but from the people that I've talked to, it's more about, okay, yeah, we got the Vikings, but who are we going to draft in the first round 2024 to replace Aiden O'Connell and be our quarterback? Because the Raiders fans are starving for a franchise quarterback. And what I will say is, while this is not something to look forward to because it's already out, I put an article out on SportsNot. And I titled it that the Raiders have to revamp or modernize the archaic quarterback room that Josh McDaniels built. He has three quarterbacks who aren't natural movers. And I think the Raiders have to add not just one quarterback, but two more quarterbacks to catch up with the times, because Josh McDaniels' idea, the ideal quarterback is very outdated. Remember, he had most of his success with Tom Brady, who's a pocket passing quarterback, and he got Jimmy Garoppolo, who's not very mobile. You got Aiden O'Connell, who can't move very much. And you got Brian Hoyer, who's 58 years old. No offense, Scott. You have to modernize the quarterback room. And I think that's a lot of fans are focused on. But I will say, this game is going to be entertaining with the Vikings.
Yeah, and it blows my mind, though. I was, right before we got on the show, I was going back and forth with one of our listeners. We were disagreeing vehemently about mobile quarterbacks. he copied you on it, too. It's like, 8 of the 9 last quarterbacks were pocket. I'm like, they're all gone. They're gone. Brady's gone, right? All those pocket passers are gone. So you can say, well, 8 of the last 9 have not been mobile quarterbacks. It doesn't matter. Things change on a dime, my man. Things change, and the NFL has changed. If you look at the top 10 quarterbacks right now, one, you could qualify as a pocket passer, right? Which is Goff. And even he moves better than an Aiden O'Connell. He's not a big mobile quarterback, but he moves more than a Tom Brady or a Jimmy Garoppolo. So again, people confuse. Well, quarterbacks that run, that's different than being mobile. Patrick Mahomes is not a running quarterback, but he's a mobile quarterback, right? Tua, not a running quarterback, although he can run occasionally. He is a mobile quarterback. Out of the pocket, with your legs, create things down the field. That's what you do. If people don't see that, I can't help you. Come back in 2 years and tell me I'm right.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I like the Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow comparisons when you talk about mobile versus running quarterbacks. They're not running quarterbacks. They're not Lamar Jackson. And Lamar Jackson is not a running quarterback either. But what I mean by running quarterback is those guys aren't going to burn you for 20 yards downfield and juke you. Lamar Jackson, he can do that, right? But Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence, they can move when necessary.
Right.
They don't rely on it, but when necessary, they can do it. And with Aiden O'Connell is when it's necessary for him to move, he's not very good at it. So the Raiders need to add some athleticism to their quarterback room.
And a key distinction, Mo, is that Yes, when you are a mobile quarterback, you still have to throw well from the pocket. No question. Right? So I talked to Dr. David Chow, did a story up on SportsNot about injuries, quarterback injuries. And he brought up the good point. He's like, look, I was in the NFL for 17 years. He worked with Phillip Rivers. He worked with a couple of the LA quarterbacks. He said, those guys were freaking statues. They didn't run. They got the ball out quick. But as the game, he said, now the game's changed. Like you cannot be a pure pocket passer anymore. You just can't. So it's amazing that people are holding on to, and they look back at the Super Bowl record and say, Tom Brady, Tom Brady, Tom Brady. And Tom Brady won freaking 6 of 7 that he was in, okay? So that's one guy. But again, you can't do it anymore. It changed the way the offenses, the way the defenses are playing now. You just can't do it anymore. Doesn't mean there won't be outliers. There's always outliers. Always guys who can do it. Now, I had the conversation on our SportsNot show before we go, and I'm extending the show now, and I'm sorry to do that, but I had the conversation with Ryan Dyrud from the LA Football Network, and I said, you have to develop, like if you have a more pocket passer as your backup who can come in and spell a guy who's out for a game or whatever, that's fine. I'm not saying you can't have an Aiden O'Connell, for example, as a guy that you go to in a tough situation, because he could still win a game for you. It's just not optimal in today's league to be a statue, okay? That's the point. So there will always be pocket passers, less athletic guys. But if you're going to win and be the next Kansas City or the next Cincinnati or the next Jacksonville, you've got to have a guy who can do it.
Right. So just to put a point, a bow on my point, is there are mobile quarterbacks who can evade pressure if necessary. And there are unicorns out there, mobile quarterbacks who can run, like Lamar Jackson, like Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, who put on a little weight recently, a little bulkier, not as mobile as he used to be, but still he could get you for 20 yards, 25 yards down the field. Those are, I would say, Lamar Jackson being the prime example, those are outliers. But you just want to have the tools to be able to move if your offensive line breaks down for whatever reason. If you want to bring up the Tom Brady situation with his teams, Tom Brady has always had a pristine offensive line. That's just not the reality in today's league. And my buddy Sobo, Brent Sobleski of Bleach Report, talks about this almost every week. The offensive line play is not as good as it used to be 20 years ago because there are less physical practices. And that goes back to the collective bargaining agreement. So there are some fundamental reasons why offensive lines aren't performing as good as they used to. And that's why you need a mobile quarterback.
And that's a really great point by Brett, because not only is it because of the lack of contact and practices, it also is two other things in my view. One is, if you look at the college game and the sets they have in college versus the pro passing sets in the NFL, they don't have the same sets. They don't have it. It's just not, they don't get the familiarity with it. But number two is the fact that if you look at the offensive linemen in these offenses, now going back when you were just still in diapers and I was watching football, Mo, the more traditional pocket passers day, right? You had your offensive line, and then guess what? You had a tight end who didn't catch passes. They were an extra blocker. Oh, and then you had a fullback, right? Because you didn't have 4 or 5 wideouts or 4 or 5 people in routes going out and spread offenses. You didn't have it. So guess what other guys did? They didn't go out on passes. They blocked. So not only is offensive line fall playing, just like Brett said, it's also the offenses, you have less protection, which is why you also need a mobile quarterback. So it's all intertwined when you look at the modern NFL.
I just want to make it clear, we're not crapping on Aiden O'Connell, because I said exactly what you just said in my SportsNot piece. It's fine to have an Aiden O'Connell as a spot starter, as a backup quarterback. There is a place for that in today's league. Backup quarterbacks are valuable in the NFL. We're seeing all the quarterback injuries. Look at Joe Burrow. Trevor Lawrence had a nasty injury. Deshaun Watson's out in Cleveland, even though they look like a Super Bowl roster. So you need that backup quarterback who could be a spot starter and be a pocket passer and deliver the ball accurately. That's valuable. But as you said, it's just not optimal in today's offenses.
It's not optimal. And like you said about Tom Brady, if Aiden O'Connell had the best line in the NFL, then you could stick with him. I mean, if you had a line that was pristine, like Brady had when he was with the Patriots, then Aiden O'Connell is going to be successful no matter what. So again, there's always outliers. and you can be successful in that position, although you limit the type of offense you can run. And so as defenses get smarter and faster and stronger, guess what happens? You become at a disadvantage. So you have to go with the way that the league is going, and that's the way it's going. Whether you like it or not, it just is. So you can come back and tell us we're right later. Mo, all right, man. That's going to close it out for this show. We appreciate you guys being with us. Make sure you subscribe wherever you can. If you're listening to us on the radio in Las Vegas, just want to reiterate our condolences and sending out our prayers to my alma mater, UNLV, the whole community there, and, of course, to those that lost their lives and their families. Will be on my mind that was a place where I grew up, met my wife, you name it, and my son goes there now currently too. So our best out to everybody in Las Vegas, to UNLV, of course. Having to go through two things like this, including October 1st back in the day, is not good. So you will be all in our thoughts here. But for everyone here, including our producer, Mike Robbie, for Mo Moten, I'm Scott Colbranson. This has been Silver and Black Today. We will see you guys next time. Take care.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.